I'm trying to get this thing here, like, on my jeans. Okay, there. How have y'all been? Has it been a good week so far? Stressful or good? I had a good week, yes. Yes. But this morning, I totally overslept, and I hardly ever do that, and I wanted to get up really early, and then it was 8:30, and I was like, what happened? Lena was still sleeping, she's always my clock. So I was kind of like in a stress, but you know what? Sometimes God gives us that sleep because we need it. That's what he kept saying. He's like, don't feel sad that you didn't get to come to me really that much this morning, but sometimes he gives us that peace and rest, right? So I just want to start praying right now. And if you could just start praying with me and leave everything behind that has made you struggle this week or where you have felt very heavy burdened, just give it all to the altar right now and ask God to forgiveness, to forgive you, and just let us come to his throne room right now and just lay it all down at his throne and say, God, reset my heart, my soul, and my mind right now. And give us an open eyes and heart and ears to hear. Father, I ask you right now, just come with your presence. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit right now, and we hand you over everything that has been a struggle this week, or where we have just been offended by you, but God, that was not of you, Jesus. We just lay it all down, Father, and we ask you to reset our mind right now and to reset our entire being, Jesus, into your glorious being, Father, and transform us into your holy, holy character this morning. And just give us the understanding of your word and let us be your disciples, Jesus, that say yes to you, God, and everything, Lord. Just let us see you, God. Give us revelation. Let us see what you want to do this morning, God. We don't want to do just always do what we think you want to do, God. We just really want to do what you want to do, God. So give us these eyes of seeing and understanding, this mind of understanding what your will is this morning. And help me to speak your word out right now in your complete control, in your word, Jesus. And let this word bring fruit, deep fruit, Jesus, that you make us this person that you have foreseen us to be in this generation, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Have your way this morning. Clothe us with your beautiful glory and power and your love. In Jesus' name I pray, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's stay in that attitude of prayer and worship, and let's just really try to focus on God this morning and just cast away everything that is coming into your ear, because the devil always tries to come and whisper in our ear because he doesn't want us to see and hear God's words, because we are able to see him too. And so today I want to introduce to you this amazing disciple that God has put on my mind and heart a few days back to study out in depth. Meet Simon Peter today. Amazing disciple of Jesus. And who was Peter? He was just a man like you and me, an ordinary person. And first of all, he was born in Israel. And he was a fisherman, and he probably took over the fisherman business from his dad, Jonah. And his name was John, is a nickname, but later on we find out it's Jonah. So he and his brother Andrew, they were fishermen, and they took over this business. And, you know, they were just probably really in the law. I believe that they were really trying to obey God by the old law, as they have been taught in the Torah readings and all that stuff. And we can see that in Acts later, where he says that, Jesus, I have always tried to eat right things and do right things. And then we see that he was never really a person that was not under trying to please God, you know? But when Jesus came, he showed him the real way. So let's start with Matthew 4:18, where Jesus calls the very first disciples. And if we go there, Matthew 4:18, we read, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." And I want you really to just remember, as they saw Jesus, they immediately dropped everything and they followed him. They left everything behind. And then we can cross-read from this scripture of Mark 1:17. I'm going to cross-read a lot this morning. So, Mark, let's go there real quick. 1:17, it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.'" So he says this over and over, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This is a very deep, deep word that Jesus gives here. So, and in Luke 5:10, let's go there real quick. We see a little bit of a different story, but the same. 5:10. No, that's not the one that I wanted. Let's see. John 1:40 is probably the one. Let me just read something, see something real quick. John 1:40. Yeah, it was Luke 5. Sorry about that. So Jesus calls the first disciple in Luke 5. So on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing on in him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were fishing their nets, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little from the land. So we have a little bit more story in this Luke 5 right here, where it actually shows that he was there and they were still in the boat. And so, Jesus goes into the boat and he sat down in the boat and he says, put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Wow, guys. So I want you all to picture this. Jesus comes, he goes into the boat, he sits probably down, and maybe he put his hands into the water, and because Jesus has the power and dominion of everything, the waves and the waters and the fish, they all have to obey Jesus Christ. So maybe he put his hands in the water and prayed this beautiful prayer of faith that fish will come right now. And so the nets were just completely full of fish. And you know, Jesus has a bigger picture of this. It wasn't just fish to him. It was a picture of Peter becoming something in the future, and that is becoming the fisherman of men. So I want you all to picture what this is. This means that he wants to disciple him into becoming something so amazing for Jesus Christ to catch these people out in Marion, to catch these people out in Asheville, in Hickory. This is what Jesus' plan was, to show Peter, and not just Peter, but all the others that were present. So, who has eyes, let him see. Who has ears, let him hear. That is the message in this scripture. And I would like to let you know what Simon means. The name Simon in Hebrew means hearing. It was amazing when I just read this. I was like, wow. So Simon's name is hearing. What did Simon do? He left everything behind, followed Jesus, left his boating business. How big is that? Can you imagine today taking off and just say, I'm just going to go? But I think that's what Peter did. He stepped into this faith, and he knew when he saw Jesus, there is something I want. There is something I want, even though I don't know right now what it is, but I want that. So this passion in Peter made him do something so big. That is a big step. I mean, I can't even imagine selling everything right now and just going without money, going without anything, because we're so dependent, right? Yes. That's how Simon was. He was dependent on that fish that he caught every day. Without that, he had no bread. He had no mat to sleep. He was lost without that. And in this society, we're lost without all that, right? So Simon, on all the disciples that did all this that I just told you, they left it all behind and followed the greatest teacher. And they were every day with the greatest teacher, listening to his word every day. Every day. And the word that became flesh was dwelling among them. And they were listening to it and being taught by him. By him, guys. And so he must have been a very obedient person for doing that. Also, what I liked so much about Peter is he was not like the Pharisees who thought they were no sinners. I'm not a sinner. They are the sinners. You know, guys, we need to come to understand that we are nothing without Jesus. And Peter constantly said, God, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. I'm not worthy for you to take me in. But what does Jesus say? And I really want you to understand his love today, because sometimes we don't have an understanding that Jesus loves us. And without that understanding, we cannot become what Jesus wants us to become. We can't. So Jesus says, I love you, and yes, you are a sinner, but that is no longer. Walk in my steps today and become who you're supposed to be. And that's what he told Peter constantly. You know, Peter has done so many things wrong, and we'll get to that in a minute. So in Luke 5:8, we see how he says, Jesus, I am not worthy of you. I'm a sinner. So if you want to take notes, that's where it is, Luke 5:8. He was uneducated and untrained in religious matters. So in Acts 4:13. And when I read this, I was just like, again, like, this is Jesus. He comes for the people that are humble and don't think big of themselves. And if you're not educated in this world, I've talked about this a while back. Jesus came for you. He came for everyone in this world. But you know what? It seems like Jesus always takes those that are low in education, because he can still educate them himself. You know what I'm saying? He can still use that mind, because they're humbled and they're childlike in their thinking and not their own intellect. And so Jesus can so use you as a vessel, and he will educate you in a way better way than this education in this world does. Don't get me wrong, you still need to be educated. But Jesus' education, that's what I want more than anything in the world. So he was uneducated and untrained. We can see that in Acts 4:13. So Jesus took him under his wings and he educated him himself. And you know, this education that Jesus gave him changed this world. And not only that, he made treasures in heaven with that education. That's the inheritance I want. Do you want that inheritance? So, Simon underwent 3 years of discipleship. 3 years. So, let's see. And he became the spokesman of the 12, which we can read in Matthew 15, 15, 18, 21, 19, 27. There's so many scriptures of that he always spoke out over all the disciples. He had so many questions. He was always the one who was asking, Master, who's the greatest in your kingdom? Master, who is this? You know, he was always, you can always read about Simon. And I only want to say Simon right now because he became Peter later on. I want to get to that. Jesus said at the very beginning when he met Simon, your name will be Peter, Cephas. And there's a big, big there's a revelation in that. Jesus always did things because he saw the bigger picture at the end. So, Peter, I also wanted to say this, Peter was the very first disciple with his brother Andrew. Isn't that amazing? So Andrew, we can see that Andrew saw Jesus first, and then he ran to his brother and said, Peter, Peter, you need to see Jesus. So like, that's how he became the follower of Jesus. So they're the first disciples. And from then on, the other 12 came into the picture as well. And so let's see. And I watched that movie. I don't know if you ever watched it. I highly recommend it. It's called Peter and the Last Supper. It's amazing. Amazing, like you can see his storyline and how he is in prison later on, and he teaches those. It's just a movie, but he, like, even at the end of his before he dies, he actually still was a fisher of men in the prison cell. I don't know if it's true, but that movie was amazing, just giving you a little bit of a taste of his life. So let's see. Peter was the first to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of the Living God. Let's go to Matthew 16, 16, 17. Matthew 16, verse 16. Simon Peter replied, okay, let's just read from 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah of one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, there we go again, he was always the spokesman of all the 12. He always was the one speaking out. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. There we see that his father's name was Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. So what does this show us? Jesus made the statement that Peter will be the rock. Huge. Huge. There's a transformation taking place from a Simon into a Peter, the rock. It's a transformation from sinful nature, the flesh, walking with Jesus intimately. That's the key, intimately, having passion, pursuing his word, pursuing his promises, running after him, letting everything else go in this world. Don't be transformed of the thinking of this world. Don't look upon money any longer. And I have to preach this. I'm preaching to myself, guys. Don't look upon clothes anymore. Don't look upon nothing but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I want to say something, like Lena is always an example to me in so many ways. So last night, I'm always so frustrated that she doesn't like toys. She doesn't care about hardly anything in this material world. But last night, I just stood there and I was like, you know what? I was watching her sleep. And I was just like, she is the example of what it means not to care about any toys, any materialism, anything in this world. She shows me what it means to let go and not care about this beautiful doll, this Barbie, this movie, this... She doesn't care, guys. All she cares about are the rocks outside, the shells in the ocean, the water, nature. She cares only about what we really have been made for. It was a big revelation for me yesterday. I just stood there and I was just like, whoa. I said, frustrates me when she doesn't play. I'm like, this is what we do. No, guys, that's what the world does. That is what the world does. What does Simon show us right there? Peter. He's Peter now. We're going to say Peter now. What does Peter show us right there? Follow Jesus. Pursue him. Passionate. Let behind my fisher boat. Hey, I don't care about my boat anymore. I don't care about my money anymore that I make with this fish every single day. I don't care anymore. I just want to become. I want to become the character that Jesus is making me to be. That is the key. And that is what Lena is teaching me. That is what she teaches me. Who cares about materialism? We do. Let go of it. We need to come to that place, my guys, and it's really hard. It means to die of yourself. It just means to die of yourself. It's so hard, guys. It's hard. Peter did it. James did it. All the disciples did it. And see what became later of them. They understood who the Christ really was. So now he is Peter because he stepped into the promise of Jesus and God revealed secrets into his mind. God, the Holy God, through his Spirit, revealed to Peter who the Christ really is. And it's a hard thing because you can be deceived very easily, especially at that time. He was just an ordinary person like you and me. It would be very hard to follow somebody who looks like you, who has the weaknesses of you. Wouldn't it be hard? But he saw that this is the true God, the living God walking, and that is only revealed by the Father. And because of his obedience, he became transformed into the mind and thinking of Jesus Christ. And that's what we all are supposed to. We are all Simons, guys. No? We're all Simons who are becoming transformed more and more into the rock. So let's take Simon Peter as an example of what it means to be discipled by Jesus Christ and becoming who we are meant to be. So, he saw most of the miracles. You know that? I mean, like, who? It's just amazing to be right next to Jesus. Even though we don't see Jesus today, we're still right next to him. Not only that, he lives in us today. So his miracles are in us, ready to be released into this world. So Peter was always with Jesus. He saw all the miracles, most of the miracles take place whenever he was with Jesus. So he first saw the raising of a dead person. And in Mark 5:37, we read, Mark 5:37. So let's go from 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James, John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler, the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." So we can read further on. If you want to read it at home, because he raises that little girl from the dead. And guess what, guys? Nobody else was to follow him but Peter and the other two. Yeah. And what does just show you? I was just like, God, why is it always... Why are there only certain people sometimes allowed in? And it's always Peter who is allowed in. And God showed me because he was so passionate, that he just laid it all and every day down for him. And he was not just a follower, but he was so intimate with Jesus that he always asked questions. He was always the one right by his feet. He was always the one who let nothing in but Jesus. I don't know about the other disciples, but Peter is always the one. And that's probably why, because when you love Jesus, you will be right there with him every day and every time wherever he goes. So that's the deep secret. It's the intimate relationship with Jesus Christ every single day. So, and we see it over and over and over and over. And if you really love him and pursue him with all your mind, all your soul, heart, and spirit, and don't let go, he will take you places you have no idea where he's going. So the other one is Matthew 8:4, where Jesus comes into the house of Peter's mother-in-law, and he heals his mother-in-law right there. So that's another miracle that is shown where Peter is present. And then the other one is Luke 8:45, where it speaks about the healing of the woman that is in the crowd, and the woman has the loss of blood. We all know that story. Paul preached about it not a few months ago. And where Jesus says, "Who has touched me? I felt something going out of me," you know. And Peter said, "There's so many here. How can you feel?" He's always speaking out, always. But how can you know that somebody touched you? There's like thousands of people here. But Jesus said, no. He always corrects Peter. He always teaches Peter, no. Somebody touched me. I felt energy going out of me. Is Peter always right there?
You know why?
Why?
Because Jesus is a rabbi.
Yes.
He's a Jewish rabbi. He's a teacher. He's constantly teaching his
disciples. Exactly. Always teaching him, always teaching. But guys, you know what? Peter could have easily said, "Oh gosh, I'm so sick of your teaching.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of it all." No. He always humbled himself. Always humbled himself, as we can read. And always said, "Jesus, I want to listen. Listen, listen, listen." And even if you're already at the stage that you're mature enough, still now to listen, still now to humble yourself over your teacher, still always stay in the attitude of a humbled servant. And that's what he's showing us this. So as I said, a transformation is taking place while Peter is being taught by the greatest teacher, the biggest teacher, the greatest author, the author of the universe, walking this earth with the author of the universe. And this transformation is slowly taking place. The flesh and the spirit always in a wrestle. They're wrestling, they're wrestling, they're wrestling. But I want to go back to my boat. I want to. No, the spirit says, no, go, walk, walk, walk. Don't give up. But I'm tired. I'm so sick of it. I just want, no, walk. Walk, pursue it, pursue it. Over there's the goal. Just walk it out, walk it out. And so the transformation of the mind is taking place. The word of God is no longer just in here, but it drops into the heart. And it divides the soul. Let's see, in Hebrew. Where is that Hebrew verse? Hebrew 4:12. Let's go right there real quick. Hebrew 4:12. It says, oh, that's not it. Do you know the scripture?
Okay, maybe right. You're right, right one. It's right. You're the right.
Why am I not looking right?
Hebrews 4.
4:12, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. There it is. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That is a deep, 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 deep scripture. And I encourage you guys, go home and meditate on this scripture, because it is so, it's complicated, but so deep. But it shows us that the word of God, it pierces through, and it totally gives us a transformation by the Spirit of God into becoming the amazing likeness of Jesus Christ who lives in us. Mary, do you have anything to say after this one? Okay, anybody else?
If you don't have that intimate relationship with God, this is where it comes in, when your mind and your heart is stayed on Him.
Exactly. So that's the key. That is the key. And you know, he heard it. So he was Simon. He was hearing it. Remember? For those that haven't been here earlier, the name Simon means hearing, to hear. And now the hearing becomes doing, because now he understood the word. Now he's in the middle. He understood it, and he's becoming the word. He's becoming the word that dwells in him by the power of God. It is amazing. So the word became flesh, and the flesh came into this world, and they were dwelling among them. So the word is Jesus Christ, and he spoke his own words into Peter and all the disciples to make them the disciples of this world. So, so in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, this is another one that speaks about the transformation of your mind into God's mind. Romans 12. It's one of my favorites, actually. Favorite scriptures. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's a simple translation, but let's read what really there is. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's the spiritual worship right there. Giving it all up. Yes. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So that means I'm letting go of my own works, out of my own performance, out of my own traditions, over my own everything, and let Jesus finally become the one that leads out of me. That's what this word means. And that's a holy sacrifice. For me to say, God, today I'm not going to watch TV, but rather come into your presence and let you make me become that I am supposed to be, your likeness, that's a holy sacrifice right there. That's the holy sacrifice right there. For us to stand up here and forgetting ourselves, letting go of ourselves, of our own image, I want to be somebody. This is all about me.
Amen.
That's not a holy sacrifice. Yeah. But the one that is a holy sacrifice is, today I'm standing here and I'm saying, I'm no longer Mira today. Jesus Christ is standing here and I want to do what he shows me to do. That's a holy sacrifice, to let go of your own thinking of, oh, I want to be heard right now, or I want to be seen right now, or look at me, I wear all this beautiful clothes. That's not the holy sacrifice. The holy sacrifice is going and doing what Jesus tells you to do. And that's what Peter did. Peter did all that. He's showing us, Jesus really pointed out Peter this entire week to me. It's like, Peter was obedient to death. He was a complete sacrifice to me, to death. And let me tell you, he was human like you and me. He did so many mistakes, so many, I'll read some of them in a minute. He did so many mistakes, and they were embarrassing, actually. But guess what? Jesus overlooks this if we have a repentant heart. And he knows we're children who still learn, and we are supposed to be his children. So he's the one who matures us in our thinking, if we let him. So, let's read further here. And do not be, in 12:2, do not be confirmed to this world. And I've been saying this over and over. This is when we let go of this world. We've been so brainwashed. We've been so brainwashed. As I said with Lena, you know, she has actually not really been brainwashed yet. Like, you have to like this doll. Like it. But from small on, we've been taught, watch Disney movies. Do this. Do that. Because this is how we were growing up, you know. We grew up like this. So we think this is the way to live. But Jesus actually said, even to his disciples, sell everything. Don't take anything but only what you wear. Don't take another bag, don't take another this, don't take... Man, that is a big sacrifice, guys. I don't know how I would do it. When we went to Germany, like, we took, like, so much. You know, that's... I mean, we are so taught that we need to better take more than to less. And that's the wrong thinking. I mean, I'm terrible in that. I'm like, I'd rather take 5 outfits than 2. You know what I mean? So I'm just honest with you guys. But this is what that also means. It means, don't listen to the media. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by all the things that Satan tries to throw at you. Like, I feel like in the summertime, it should be a time where the kids actually can relax and just finally be who they really are, you know, when they're out of school. But no, even the churches and everybody makes it so busy. They can never really find who they really are. So I feel like every time, like my friend Holly, she's always busy, 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 busy. I have to bring them to soccer. I have to bring them da, 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 da. I think we're all guilty of that. I know, you know. I mean, I'm guilty that I bring Lena everywhere. Therapy, therapy, therapy. I'm guilty as myself. But you know what, guys? I think it's time to understand that that is not the way of God. God wants us to find rest and to find that peace, who we really are, because if we are bombarded every day, all day long, we can never really see what Jesus really has for our lives, because we're so bombarded in our minds. Or the phone, you know? Those are just the things that, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So I would like for you to meditate on that one as well, because that's what Jesus says this day, today, to all of us. Come into my rest. Understand who I really am. Walk in my peace, in my shalom. Because for God, God, Jesus, for chaos for Jesus was nothing. You know, we see that when he's in the boat and the storm comes, everybody is concerned. Oh my gosh, there's a big storm. I'm so scared. Jesus is right there sleeping. What does this teach us? It teaches us that chaos cannot get to Jesus. The storm cannot get to him. He doesn't even see it. All he sees is peaceful shalom, because he's so inclined with the Father and his will and his perfect rest that he doesn't even hear the storm that is going on out there. And I felt like this is what Jesus is saying. Come into my rest. Come into my shalom, where this world is in chaos. But you don't have to be afraid, because you are so much bigger than the chaos. It was just such a picture, you know? And Peter even was scared. He's like, what is he doing? He's sleeping in this chaotic progress. That's where we are right now. We are in this chaotic world. But what does Jesus show us in the boat? Don't care. You're stronger than this. You're actually there to calm the storm in the midst of it. So, but how do we get there? We get there by following Jesus, putting on the shoes of Jesus and becoming Him by being transformed in our mind, soul, and spirit and walking where He wants us to walk. And that's hard. But that's when we get to the shalom that He wants us to be in. So, let's see. Peter also was there when Jesus was transformed into the glorious being. So let's read that, because I love that scripture. We have 15 minutes. All right, Matthew 17:1. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. We see again, only Peter, James, and John, exactly the same disciples that Jesus took to raise the little girl. There we go. Make the note. Because they were pursuing him so deeply, not with actions only, but with their heart, which is the most important. They loved him. They wanted to be right here on his feet all the time. Jesus, Jesus, I don't want to be anywhere. Please take me with you. I don't know about the other disciples, if they were just not that passionate. But these three, always through the scriptures, they're always there. So we read there. Jesus led him up a high mountain by themselves. Oh, hold on. And John, his brother, led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And here it is. Peter took his foot in his mouth without listening first. That's one of his immaturities right there, but we are all like that. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I mean, what is that? Foolishness of man. That's how a foolish man talks. We in our own intellect. That's the example right there. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud. And I want you to see this. It was a bright cloud. It was not a dark cloud. It was a bright shining cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son. They saw God, the Father. That is amazing. Amen. With whom I am well pleased, listen to him. So the faith of Peter was rewarded by seeing the Father. It took a little while, but he had such strong faith that Jesus had so much faith in Peter to take him to see God. Is that not amazing? So when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. So, amazing, amazing story, which is a true story. I want to be that Peter. You know, I want to have that faith that Jesus trusts me that much, that I get to see the glory of God. And Jesus, it's also a bigger picture again, because Jesus is showing that we are being transformed as we walk with him in passionate love. We become this glorious, shining clothes that Jesus was wearing right then, the transformation. That's how we are supposed to be, because Jesus will change us into this glorious, bright, shining person, which is already inside of us. You know, Moses, my most biggest first Jesus hero, but the other hero is Moses, because, oh, there's so much, so much faith and so much love for God and so many stories about Moses, but he was transfigured on the mountain, just like Jesus was right here. He was up on the mountain for days with God, giving the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. And when he came out down the mountain after 40 days, his face was shining to the point that he had to put a veil on his head because the people were scared of him. What does that show you? Peter and Moses and all these people pursued God. And the people that do not pursue God are like the people where Moses came down to that had no faith, and they celebrated in front of a calf, a golden calf, because they had no faith or relationship with the holy God. So Moses had to put a veil over himself because the people have not understood yet who God really is and his glory, his glory. So when it happened to Moses, isn't it possible for us to happen if we really get to the point of laying everything down? That's what Jesus showed Peter. Coming to that place of the glory of God shining upon us so that the world sees the light of Jesus Christ only in us. Not Mira, not Ellie, not Marian, Jesus. Amen. Simon had to bury his name somewhere, and he had to take a new name, which is the Rock. The rock means Jesus Christ. On this rock I will build my church. The rock is Jesus. He took the name of Jesus and planted it into Peter. That's who we are. We're Jesus living in us. I'm not going to talk about all the immatureness of Peter right now, because God showed me just to show you who you are right now. And it's later on. Peter becomes, and I want to go into the depth of Acts in a later study, if I'm allowed to, later on, like another Bible study. Peter becomes the rock in the book of Acts, who builds the first church on Jesus Christ. He builds the church of Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. And he built what is today the Christians, because he was obedient. That's who we are. We are the rock of Jesus Christ. Let's see. I also want to go really quick. There's so much more, but I might just do all this in a different study. The love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I do not have love, I am nothing. The greatest commandment is love. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and spirit. Jesus always lays it out for us. Love is number one, because who is love? God. God is love. So without loving God, but first of all, I want to explain this something to you, what I've learned this week. I'm reading this book from Chris Gore or Heidi Baker. They are stressing something really strong, and that is, if we don't have the love for the people, how can God give them what they need? So Heidi Baker, by example, she says, if I just love on the people, and once I love on the people because God loves through me, the healing is set free. I let God be the healer, and through me, loving the people. That was a big statement to me. And God is really, I want to give you this testimony in close for today, but if you allow me, I'll do a next Bible study on Peter, because there's so much more. But, so God has really worked on me in Germany, and it's still, I feel a transformation in myself, because I'm not giving bitterness any room. I want to give this testimony real quick. I mean, you all know I have a little sweet girl, the most precious girl in the world to me. And I could have walked. She has, the world says autism, but God hates autism. So to God, she's healed, and it's still coming into existence. I speak that today into existence.
Yeah, we agree.
Yes. And because of that walk, I could have said, I'm bitter. I pray for her about every day. I could be bitter. I could be like, God, why don't you hear my prayer? And let me tell you, there was days when I yelled at him, like, it only takes a touch. I don't understand you. What is wrong with you? You know, I'm honest with you guys. We're humans. But you know what? God, in his mercy and his love, he takes me in his embrace and he says, it's all under my wings. It's all under my wings. And so when I so laid my life down again over and over and I said, I will not be bitter. You're the God my soul loves. And I will walk your way no matter what. If it takes me to death, which is a good thing, my fleshly death, that's all I want. I want to become who you are, me, you want me to be. That's who I want to be. I want to be your character, God. So when I went to Germany, there was the conference from Bruce Allen. And there was, my mom told me one night before, there's this family. And this family, they have adopted, they have like, I think, two or one kid of their own. But they felt in their heart to adopt two little children that were absolutely abused. And one of them is completely mentally handicapped. Can you imagine as a person to say yes to this? So only hearing those words that mom said, this family took in a mentally completely handicapped person who can't even walk. She sits in a chair like this. And the other one, completely abused by her family, her real parents. Her dad abused that little child so badly. A two-year-old toddler that nobody was ever to touch that little girl without her screaming and being so scared to death. When mom told me this, a passion that can only come from Jesus Christ by walking the walk right now with my daughter came so strongly in me that I just started to feel this intercession. And I tell you what, if I wouldn't walk this walk with my daughter right now, I don't know if I would have come to that place. Because I have this deep, deep love for mentally ill and any handicapped person, any sick person. I feel such a passion for these people these days. So the next day, we're at the conference, Allie and I, and during worship, I felt like I'm supposed to go back there. No, I was on my way to the bathroom, that's what it was. And there was the little girl right there in the stroller with a mom, and I was like, oh gosh, there she is. And I felt such love and compassion in such a deep, deep way that was not from me. It was only God's love. I felt never such a thing in my life. I saw her, and I knew in my mind, I'm not to touch her, because she will scream so bad because she's so scared of any human touch because she has been abused so terrible. But something came over me. I felt such compassion. So I just went there and I went on my knees and I touched that little child. And this love just coming out of me. All of a sudden, it's such a transformation in this little girl. And she just started to smile. And her feet was going back and forth in happiness and joyfulness. And I was like, what is happening? But this love that came through me was only through the transformation of the Holy God. And because I touched her, Jesus was able to show his love to that child because I was willing to be that vessel. It was not me. It was only the vessel that he used. So I touched her and she would be so joyful. And the mother was even like, and I was so overwhelmed that I had to just run to the bathroom and I started crying. I was like, what was this, Jesus? What just happened? And I felt the Father say, you felt my heart for these children that are abused, for the world, for these people that are going to hell. This is my love that I have for every person that is oppressed, depressed, sick,
because it's not my will that they are. I only want good. The love, that's the key. Relationship to Jesus is the first key, and he can give us that compassion for the lost. Something changed in me that day. I went home with Allie and to my mom's and parents' house, and I told her the story, and we were just crying both together. And then I understood her heart, because her heart is so in love with the homeless people that I have never understood. I'm like, how can you love these people? I'm just honest with you guys. This is human. But I understood something at that moment. She loves them because God's love in her loves these people. So her testimony has changed me. God has changed us. You know, that's what it's all about, to become a fisherman like Peter is. To become not sitting in this waltz, but going out, bringing the people to Jesus in his love and compassion. And let me go further with that story. That night, we had another church service, and I came back to the church, and there was that little girl in the stroller, and the mom was right there, and Ellie and I and Lena were there, and I went straight to that child because I couldn't do differently. And I just was holding her hand, and she would just smile. And she wouldn't let go of my hand. She would not let go of my hand. And that taught me something else again. It was just this deep love that I have never felt before. And I just kissed her hand, and I had to just go and attend to Lena, but I kissed her hand after a while. I was holding her for a while, just praying and saying how precious she is. Like, you're so precious. You're so beautiful. I kissed her hand and went away. But that story will never, ever die in me. Because that is the beginning of something that Christ is doing in me. And not only in me. If we are all doing what he wants us to do, we are all to do this and more. This is just a small story, guys. Jesus wants to do this out there with every person that is lost. And another thing is, during the church service in the evening, I was watching that little girl here and there because I was so in love with her. I was so in love with her. And people started walking to her and touching her. And she was fine. Jesus had touched that little girl out of his love and his compassion to the point that she was okay with people touching her. And that is the story of Jesus Christ. That's how he walked the streets of Israel. Loving the homeless, loving the sick, loving the oppressed. The ones that were in this prison cell and wanted to get out. That's who we are today. We are to be the vessels that Jesus walks the streets with and asks us, are we willing to touch this person in his love, not in my image, but in his love, not so I become somebody? No, I want to become Jesus. And please pray that we stay humble. I want to be humble. It's really hard sometimes to stay humble. We need to stay humble under the obedience of Jesus Christ. So let us pray that we become those vessels. Because I feel like God wants to discipleship to that point, to become Peters. But don't become Peter. Become whoever God has told you to become. Don't just look at a person, I want to become this. No, become Jesus. Become the rock that Peter became. Because we are rocks that Jesus builds his church on. Every single one of us. So Father, I ask you right now, come and teach us and walk with us in humble servanthood, Father. Let us understand what it means to stay humble, Father, and to humble ourselves to glorify your beautiful name, Jesus. Father, I want to give you all my traditions, Jesus. want to give you everything, God, and I want to say, use me as your vessel, Jesus. Forgive me my sins where I was prideful and where I thought only of myself. And help me to consume this fire, Jesus, and the love and the compassion for other people, Jesus. So I pray for other people and see what you have for us in store today, God. Let us be able to walk out of these walls and see what you have in Marion for us, Jesus. Transform us into your likeness, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and fall with your power in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.